fed, fat and flourishing, amen.
Amen.
Getting spiritually fat, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I hear what you're saying, Sammy, about the, you know, GC walks up to you and just says, oh, by the way, it's your turn. I'm in slight, I thought I was in a good position at one time. I used to think, well, there's nobody there to say, hey, by the way, Andrew, it's your turn. I knew when it was my turn, you know. I'd spend hours doing the studying. And then I got into a situation where God just didn't speak to me. And I spent hours studying. And he didn't speak to me. And then I'd get to the meeting. And he still hadn't spoken to me. And I'm like, hey, Lord, I'm supposed to be the one who's today. And I'd sit there in the meeting, and then suddenly he'd just give me that thought.
Amen.
And it was like, this is a bit late, you know. This is a bit tight, you know. And I haven't had time to look at this, and then the anointing comes on. You know, and you just go with the flow.
Yeah,
I'm still doing it to me. I can go to meetings and still do not know what I'm going to preach.
Yes.
Amen. God, Andrew, what are you doing to me? Yeah, I always check around first to see if he's told anybody else. You're going to hurt, you know, it's like, they'll sit there going, I'm going to change some of the tactics now, you know. I'm going to, in the future, I'm going to do what GC does. Oh, by the way, Philip, you're on this week. So watch out. Okay? Watch out. Praise the Lord. So it means getting prepared. So praise the Lord. You ready for some more words?
Yeah.
Well, let's welcome my friend Greg.
Yeah.
Let's welcome the Christ in him. He's going to come and minister to us. Lunch is at one.
I get the hint.
If he's still preaching at 1 o'clock, just get up and go. If he really wants to preach, he'll follow you through and carry on.
I've already been told.
They're mean to you, brother.
No, I'm just obedient.
I wonder when that happened. Are you turned on?
I don't know, Emma. Yeah, I think I am. But let's get right into the Word of God. I don't have time to have time to enjoy myself, so I just get right into the book. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Listening to the testimonies and the different things that have been said, the Lord's quickened to me in my spirit that we've got to have the right eye and the right understanding in the Spirit to know how the Lord's dealing with us. And that's the hardest thing in the flow of God's Spirit, is to know direction. Yet we know the direction we want to take. And if you follow the Word of God, God speaks once. And if you are in the walk of the Spirit, a lot of times it goes cross to the way you want to go. And all through history and all through the Word of God, God has chosen a people and set a people aside that He has a plan that has to be fulfilled. And it's not what we want God to do for us, it's what God has chosen us for Himself. And unless and you get that kind of concept in the Spirit, you've got the wrong eye. You're looking to get God to work things out for you. But it's the other way around. It's you falling in line with the Spirit so God could produce what He started off from the beginning. In the beginning, let God create the heavens and the earth. And God has never left that plan, because He comes into the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, and He says, God God.
Amen.
And God is Spirit.
Yes.
He spoke in sundrous times by prophets, but now He's speaking by His Son. And His Son is the only one that needs to be lifted up. And the way He has to be lifted up is within His people.
Amen.
And the problem with the church was, in that age, was when the apostle, and there's, you know, many say it might have been Paul, it might have been this, but if you're a studier of the Word of God, it sounds and talks like Paul. And I'm more to lean that way toward Paul. Now, you could have your own opinion who it might be. That's not the point. But the point is this. That church was beginning to lean back toward their traditions. And God starts it off in that verse, look toward my Son and get your eyes off everything else. God spoke in sundry times in divers manners through the prophets, and now in these last days He's speaking by His Son. And then He goes on in that book and shows you seven distinct things and manifestations of His Son.
Right.
So who are we to look to? Look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Who started it and finished it, and forget about the old order and the old traditions. But the problem is we get our eyes on what we see, and it's right away, oh God, I need to get out of this. But it's really God letting you get into it, that He could set you into a position that He could show forth His glory in the earth.
Amen.
And that's the only way God will ever show forth His glory, is that when we're in a situation that you can't figure it out.
Amen.
And then in this book of Corinthians, the second chapter, and in the ninth verse, it says this, but I would like to start up with verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. Now you must understand what verse 8 is saying. If the princes of this world, and world simply means the princes or the age that we're living in, if they would have known what Christ had really come to do, they wouldn't have crucified Him. But they did. And that was Satan's main plan and main attack when Jesus came into the earth and He was led up into the wilderness. He didn't go through nothing no different than Israel went through. Israel had to go through the wilderness 40 years. Why? It's simple. David was a master at knowing the things in the Old Testament. And he could grab back from the Old Testament and bring it right up to date and show that Israel for 40 years had to be proved and tested what was in their heart. And they didn't like it. Because every time they went through something, they would right away complain and say, God, You need to get me out of this. How about proving Yourself one more time to me?
Yeah.
We don't have no bread. And God furnished a table in the wilderness. We don't have no water. And God gave them water. We don't have no meat. God gave them meat. Constantly wanting to prove God. And then as it was talked about last night, they come to the border of their inheritance. It wasn't heaven. It was the promised land. If it was heaven, there wouldn't be no giants there. It's time to get into a position and come to a confidence and a trust in God that what He says, He'll do it.
Amen.
That's the only way the giants are going to be whipped. And the thing is, when we enter the promised land, or the land to us is in the spirit realm, we begin to fight with giants. Hallelujah. And even though they're all around us, it doesn't matter, because we've learned to come into a confidence to know that all the promises in God are yea and amen. And you're going to have to learn to lean on them by faith. And if God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
And trust God by what He says.
Amen.
That's why in this book of Corinthians it says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man. Man don't have no idea what God's doing in this hour. He's lost. But you go to the next verse and it says, but God hath revealed it to us by His Spirit. Oh, hallelujah! And we must realize that even though God is beginning to reveal things to us by the Spirit, it doesn't mean we've come to a full enlightenment of all the promises of God. But at least we've made an entrance into the realm of God, and now the door is open, and we're in such a realm and a capacity of a God that's greater than anything that ever was, anything that ever will be, and forevermore. Yes. It's only in the spirit realm. Now, what do that I'm in there? We know as soon as we get saved, we think, "Ooh, this is exciting." We find out that when you really have a born-again experience, not one of these. Now just lift your hand up, and if you hear the Lord calling, just come to the altar and He'll accept you. Now that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one where you know the Spirit, according to the book of Ephesians, says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath He quickened. Now quickening is made alive. And that life is simply the God life that's within your heart. And unless He places that Spirit within you, and if God is Spirit and He quickens me by His Spirit, what's that mean? God's in me. Amen. Then what's that mean? And wherever I go, He's with me. Amen. Now the thing is, I have to learn to come into a relationship with a new visitation that I never knew nothing about. Now how do I learn about that Spirit? Well, Jesus said it very simply in John, the 8th chapter. He talked to a bunch of Jews and He says, ye are My disciples, if ye continue in My word. Then ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the first thing you have to do, ye are My disciples, or you disciple simply means to be taught of the Lord. And when you're taught of the Lord, the way you're taught by Him is through the Word. And the Word and the Spirit has to agree. Amen. If it don't agree, it's against each other. And the Word and the Spirit will always agree. Amen. So you must be in the Word of God and also have the Spirit to bring the quickening of that Word or that life to you, or it's no life. And then that man on the inside begins to quicken and come alive. And then you recognize, surely the Lord's in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And He says, you're My disciples, or you could be taught of the Lord. And then when you're taught of Him, that's when you begin to know the truth. And then when you begin to know the truth, then the truth begins to set you free. Hallelujah. And what does that mean? Well, you begin to become... With Corinthians says, then your eye begins to be open. And the darkness that's within you begins to fade away. The more of the light of the truth comes to you and begins to set free. He says, but as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them which love Him. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. But the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now turn to me to the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. And I want to elaborate just a little bit to show you something that once you come into the realm of the Spirit, that's when your problems start. They don't start outside the spirit realm, because you're going to do things the way you want to. But they start when you get in the spirit realm, because things begin to change. And you're beginning to move away from one owner unto another owner. In the 2nd verse it says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The world simply means you walked according to the course of this age. And every age, God has had His people. And as I look across these fields, and yet even though they're grown up and different things, you can't help but begin to look and think of the patriarchs of old that walked this land and the ages past, that how they stood for the gospel. And in the infancy of Christianity, when God had just allowed His Son to rise from the dead, and the pioneers of old begin to walk across this land and begin to come to those that God had hid. And Jesus said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to my people that are not known as my people. And in every age, God has had His people hid away. Nobody knows who they are, but the Spirit knows, because they've been chosen, called out before the foundation of the world. And then when that quickening of the Spirit comes to them, they have to be made alive and be taught the richness of God's grace. And then they begin to come out and know that God has called them out. But as I look across these lands and think and see how we have it so good, they laid down the foundations. All we're doing is just following the paths that they already laid for us. There's nothing you and I really have to do. We've just been following what has been already done. And it's up to us to just keep the fires burning within our hearts and just carrying the gospel of the good news, because that's what gospel means, the good news. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. Drop down to verse 4. But God, it don't matter where you are. It don't matter what you are under. It don't matter the situation that you're in. But God, and God who is spirit, is rich. He's rich. Now, He didn't say money. He said He's rich. What's He rich in? In mercy. There's nothing you and I have done to come to Him. But it's the riches of God that He let go of Jesus Christ out of heaven. And He decided to come and obey what His Father asked Him to do. And He left the wealth of heaven to take on humanity. And within Him was wrapped up all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It was in Him. And walked in the earth, was the riches of God's mercy to a world that didn't know God, was alienated from God. And He came into this earth, and God showed forth His wealth in the embodiment of His Son.
Yes, amen.
But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ.
Yeah.
There's no difference. We are on equal terms with Him. And when you say that, that's where we in the church differ. Because they constantly want to look at themselves and say, we're not worthy. Well, you'll never be worthy. That's why you have to apply what He has already done to your life. You'll never be worthy. But I totally accept what He has done for me.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I have to do but accept what He's done. Now, if I accept the sacrifice, then I get the benefits of it.
Yes.
Now, if He was the burnt offering and the sweet-smelling Savior to God, and He fulfilled all that God wanted Him to do, then we're not to do no less. We're to be a sweet-smelling savor to God and give our lives a total living sacrifice to God. We're not going to no cross, but the thing is, we're willingly walking out what He's already done. He don't want us to do nothing no different than He's already done.
Amen.
He did it in the flesh, where we're doing it in the Spirit.
Amen.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And verse 6 says this, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
We're far above Anything that you and I have ever imagined, God's placed us in the heavenlies. I don't understand why the church wants to go to heaven and we're already positioned in heaven.
Amen.
Why do you want to go someplace when you're already there?
Yes, glory.
Heaven's come down to us.
Amen.
And now we're walking in all the blessings of God. For all the blessings in God are yea and amen. All His promises.
Yes.
All you have to do, well, how are they promises? For thy word is settled in heaven.
Yes.
And heaven came down and wrapped itself up in flesh. Hallelujah. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And it walked among us. And we didn't know that it was. The only way we can is if He quickens us, makes us alive by the Spirit. And then you're able to be taught and know who He is. That's the author and finisher of this so great salvation. The whole thing, it's not hard. We make it hard. Simply because we will not allow ourselves to come into a relationship with that Spirit. We find it so hard within ourselves that we have an ear to hear, but it's got to get down within our spirits that the Spirit can quicken us. And when it does, we're going to find ourselves go the other way. And it's nothing, no difference. All your walk with God is going to be a walk of faith.
Amen.
It's easy to walk in the seen realm. It's easy to walk in the tangible realm. And that's where we always want to pull God. Jesus did that already. He came into the unseen. He came into the low state of man. Now it's up to man to move into the unseen where He dwells. Because He says, I'm going back to the Father. He says, I left that place once before and come into the darkness of humanity. I know what it's like. I tasted of it. And I partook. I'm showing you there's a better place. And it's a lot easier because He fulfilled all the law. And then He took the law and nailed it to a tree. And then He says this, curse it. Is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yeah.
In other words, what He's saying, don't take down what I've already nailed and killed.
Yeah.
I fulfilled it and killed it. It's dead.
Yeah.
And when you reckon yourself dead to the law, then you'll find out you'll come into the abundance of God's grace, and God's grace will lead you into the realm of the Spirit that you'll have no other problems because He did it all for you.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Reckon yourself dead and alive to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
That's it.
Glory.
I got to eat.
You got another 20 minutes at least, Greg, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a great word. Reckoning yourself.